Abbey 104.
Charity Corner. As usual, on each first Sunday of the month, I'll be interviewing organisers and participants of a local charity, learning more about what the charity does, who benefits, and what support is needed for it to grow and flourish. This month, I'm fortunate enough to have with me Clive Tuck, CEO of The Hub in Yeovil. Is that right, Clive? Yes?
It is, yes. Hello.
And Clive, welcome, but of course we've met before. On more than one occasion, and I've been lucky enough to come down to the Hub on than one occasion.
Yeah.
But for everybody else out there, the Hub, when did it start and what does it do?
The Hub started in August 2010, as originally it was a sort of a community interest company with its purpose being to try and provide something for people with a learning disability or autism to help them really after school ended, to give them another sort of round of support to get them into meaningful occupation, really support for life and work, to help with their independence, to help with them find work. And over the last 8 years now, it's evolved such that we have a sort of a range of social enterprises, from a cafe. We run the Yeovil Scrap Store now.
Right.
And we're also doing our own recycling projects. And we also have a supported employment recruitment company, which is trying to work with local businesses to say, hey, you know, our guys are talented,
very capable,
hardworking and loyal. Give them a try.
Yeah.
And we can wrap some support around that to help that sort of go forward. So yeah, it's been a challenging 8 years, but I think for us now we're much more about sort of working together for life beyond disability and what that means.
Definitely, because of course reaching true potential often doesn't happen without the support that you're giving.
Absolutely.
And so how many, I mean, when it started 8 years ago, how many young adults did you have to start with?
Well, it was a strange start, really. We just put a few adverts out and spoke to people that we'd worked with in local schools and colleges and the county councillors, and we said, this is what we're trying to do. We put out a buffet of food and we opened our doors, and then there was probably five or six parents that knew of us, and they came and started to understand what we were trying to do. And so then we started to work with a sort of couple of people that were currently still in education, and then some that had just finished.
Right.
And that combination of people were involved initially in soap production.
So
we started to make soaps, and we started to produce those to a standard with branding and labelling and so on. And we marketed those, and eventually they were selling through about 35 different village or farm shops and stores. In fact, I've just been llama walking down in Sidmouth, and I walked through, and my soaps, well, the Hub soaps were being sold in the reception area, which I had no idea we were supplying. But through a process of failing spectacularly, learning from our mistakes, going on that journey with such a number, we're now actually providing a service to about 50 adults with learning disabilities, and we're probably reaching out to potentially another 20 to 25 more.
Right.
And we're scaling up our links with local businesses such that we can branch out and provide a labour force.
So do you go into schools and colleges so that the schools are aware of this and the support that you can give at the end of school?
We do. We've done work with the Yeovil Special Schools, which are Fairmead and Fiveways. They're very familiar with our service. And Loughton College, which is a Cambion-owned college in Yeovil. And of course, Ofsted now are much clearer about what they want their students to achieve as they finish school. And that transition pathway, that achievement pathway, is much clearly laid down as a performance marker for schools these days.
Right.
So they want us to almost become a service that's an adjunct to theirs, such that we can see clearer transitions into something meaningful.
Right.
Because the purpose of the Hub was the number of people that had just fallen away after education and the funded period of education into social isolation and overrepresentation, really in the wrong types of areas of society, with mental health and substance misuse and criminal justice system. So we really wanted to showcase their skills and talents, yes. but recognise with the right support that we might be able to make something special happen.
Because I know, I was talking about schools, because I know Greg Morrison, for example, I don't know whether you know him, he's head at Preston School, and they have got the most amazing department there, who'd be very good to sort of be in contact with. So
I think there's a lot more work that we want to be doing with the transition pathways in education. I think the inclusion agenda, which is much more about trying to make education fit the individual and not have lots of different additional funding streams to keep people in education, I think is key to this.
Right.
But more importantly, it's about making sure that it's, I suppose the ambition of the hub is much more to say, in a way, we're all on some sort of spectrum of ability or disability.
Yeah, yeah.
So what makes us any different to anyone else? And in that sense, they've all got talents and skills.
Yes.
So let's showcase those. Let's really make them a commodity that has value that people wish to buy into. So whether they'd like to come into the cafe and be served a nice cappuccino and a scone from somebody that's actually served them, who's come through our training service, or whether they would like to employ somebody that's come to our supported employment agency. To us, that's all part of narrowing the sort of discrepancies, really, the diversity, the acceptance of all of those things. We've become really good at a society of accepting gender inequalities, sexual inequalities, race inequalities. But I think for now, neurodiversity is something we need to get better at, and recognise that we probably wouldn't have been so successful in World War II if we didn't respect autism, and we probably wouldn't have landed on the moon if there weren't people that could abstract their thinking to such an nth degree that they could see the potential of these things. And I think we need to kind of be more forgiving, more accepting, and showcase these talents. And really that's how we see the hub.
Tell us, whereabouts is the hub now? Because, of course, it moved, didn't it?
The hub was originally over two buildings. One was in Eastville, an old glove factory, three-story glove factory there, which was our head office and training centre. And we also had a cafe and scrap store, a retail side to the business, which was over at Market Street. And we've just co-located both of those into 13 Buckland Road, which is just turned by Tri UK Bike Shop off Lyde Road, and it arcs round and comes out by Booker's, but halfway along on the left is the hub.
Right.
And we're all under one roof. So we've designed this purpose-built ground floor space that has the retail side, the cafe and the shop, but also all the kind of workspace operational areas can be accessed without going through them. So it's been designed with everybody's needs in mind.
Yes, absolutely.
And we are currently doing a massive fundraising appeal to try and raise money for a mezzanine.
Okay.
To give us a second floor, such that we can present to our community a venue that everyone could use, whether that be for training or meeting space or even corporate days. Mm-hmm. We can provide the rooms, the ICT, as well as the food and the drinks to go with that. So that's our ambition.
Good. So that's, so if people want to come and have a look, are you open every day? Or are you...
We're open 6 days of the week between 9:30 and 4:30. We can be contacted through three of our Facebooks. We have one for the hub, we have one for the scrap store, and one for the cafe.
Right.
As well as Instagram, and we have a mainline telephone number.
Right, fine. And of course, later on my website, thehiddenneedstrust.org, and on the Abbey one, we'll put all your details up. Anyway, so there, it will be up there, so don't worry. So you're talking about the fundraising. How can people get involved and how can they help?
There's a number of ways. The first is obviously through donations, and that doesn't have to be financial. That can be people that have expertise in areas we need for running a business, whether that be marketing or legal or financial. You could donate materials that are no longer needed that we could reuse and resell through our scrap store. Very often we have a need for volunteers. Also, if you're involved in a company that may have a requirement to recruit more people, where you may see an opportunity that you could work with us and we could have somebody work for you that's supported by our job coach staff, It's really starting the conversation.
Yes.
And for us, the Western Gazette has been very supportive.
Well, I've seen, very much so.
And they're looking at running 52 articles over 52 weeks this year.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And we'll start to feature individuals who we can profile
that
may be looking for work.
That's superb. So basically, if anybody out there is interested in coming to have a look with any ideas whatsoever, they could be very well useful.
Absolutely. So, and they'd be welcome.
Perfect. Absolutely. Clive, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
And you will see all this on the Hidden East Trust website very soon.
Thank you very much.
Wow, what a wonderful interview. And I've got here Terry with me, who of course was doing the interview with me yesterday.
I was pushing the buttons, Rachel.
Well, yes, I would. But you were quite interested, weren't you, in the...
Well, apart from the fact I suddenly found that I knew Clive from school,
yes,
and hadn't seen him since, which was a little while ago now. It's a great project they've got, and it sort of rolls in several different aspects of just helping disadvantaged people, doesn't
Definitely.
It? And there's a scrap store, as he mentioned, and then
yeah.
there's a play area, and then there's the cafe. Now, I'm always up for a cafe, so I'll be down down there quite soon. But it's just another example of somebody who's prepared to go out there and challenge conventional thinking
exactly.
and get people involved in doing things, isn't it?
Absolutely. And everybody has got a right to reach their maximum potential.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what level you're at. And obviously, you know, if people are out there prepared to employ people, give them work experience, I certainly have said to Clive, anybody can come along and have experience in the charity field, you know, and that boosts self-esteem, that whole wellness factor. And as you say, as he was sort of saying, it stops the social isolation and all the other issues that can go ahead.
And he's another person, if I may say so, and we've had a few of them on this programme, and I've had some on Folk Tales, who has a real passion about what he's doing.
Definitely.
And, I mean, Julie Plumley, who we had
Definitely.
Not long ago. They are people who really sincerely believe in the
Absolutely.
Idea, don't they? And have gone out and done
well,
something
absolutely.
About it.
And the interesting thing is that, I mean, going back on only the short time I've been doing this programme, Paul from the Geranium Trust has got facilities that I know some of the young adults in the hub would love to access. And then, of course, there's Julie. And funny enough, Clive and Julie were social work trainees
they
together.
Were, mm.
Yes, so, of course, they know each other. And again, the link is huge. Mia, who was on the show last month from Shares, who works with families from Syria, she certainly has got some sort of teenage children now on her books that have got learning disabilities that again could access not just Future Roots, not just Paul's Geranium Trust, but also now Clive. So the whole coming together is
and there's such
there.
A lot happening in this area in
it's
the
huge.
Charitable sector.
Yes.
I know Paul Peters, who runs the Geranium Trust and is also a presenter on this radio station, was at an event, I think it was on Thursday or Friday, I think it was Friday, for the Chernobyl children who've been over.
Yeah.
And I know he was absolutely moved by what they
Definitely.
Did. And, you know, that's just another example of something
exactly.
really worthwhile going on in the area.
Exactly, exactly. And interesting enough, I met one of the leaders of the Chernobyl scheme when I was at Paul's at one of his Friday tea time or lunch
yes,
times, wasn't
tea
it? Yes,
or
it was fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Mm. And as you say, you know, people around here, they're so kind. They just come out of the woodwork and really support.
And who have we got coming up on our list of hopefuls for the next
well,
few programmes?
Well, I have got a little black book full of names that I'm gradually ticking off. But obviously, if anybody's out there and that wants to be the main charity for the month, please get in touch. All the details are on the Abbey 104 website or on hiddenneedstrust.org. And you'll see the previous recordings there and, of course, all the details of the charities that are on the show. So do get in touch, or if you've got any ideas that anybody wants promoting anything they're doing.
We'd love to hear.
Absolutely. And in fact, just very quickly, we'll go on to what is happening. Well, August seems to be quite a low month. I presume lots of people are away or doing other things. But there's one thing I have to say I've got to promote. Now, this man doesn't know I'm promoting him at the moment, but Somerset farmer Nick Bragg, he is from South Petherton, Frog Mary Green Farm, and he is going to be cycling 3,000 miles across Canada in 30 days to raise awareness and funds for the welfare charity, the Royal Agricultural Benevolent Institution. And that basically has been going for 158 years, with getting grants and so on for individuals and families in financial hardship, but particularly in the farming sector. And of course, at the moment, I mean, how appropriate, because I think the farmers are either having a really good time with their harvesting or really not surviving very well at all because of the weather. So good on you, Nick. It was in the Western Gazette. I spied it. So big shout out for him. And I gather you can get onto a website to actually give money. So again, I will get that on my website. So please do support. Be fantastic.
Okay.
So till next month.
When are we? It's the Sunday, the 2nd of September.
Yeah, that's
we'll
right.
We'll be back.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for listening.